Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Welcome, my dear congregation. I have to get out. I have a priestly voice.
You do, don't you? Natural tendency. Yes, yes. And out comes your broadcast voice now. Recognised by the nation.
People do stop me in the street. They ask me to be the priest.
Yeah.
Do that priest voice.
Do your priest voice. Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to another Confessions podcast from Greatest Hits Radio. Sister Susie's in the pub, lining up a few... what are you lining up for us today?
Drinks-wise?
Yes.
Oh, well, I've just got a cup of tea at the moment, but I'm sure we'll have something a bit more alcoholic and in Matt's favour later on the
trolley. Good. That's how we get through the night.
Gorilla Man is
yes,
here.
I am. Yeah, I'm glad that's sticking.
Yeah.
Lovely.
The gorilla from the gutter. The gutter gorilla.
Gutter gorilla. Love
gutter
it.
Gorilla.
Gutter gorilla.
No, that's a late shout for the drama, is it? Because that's not getting through.
Okay. Anyway, later we're going to visit the parish notice board and add to the list of shame those confessions which were not suitable for broadcast. Very, very not suitable. We're going to pop into the crypt for Jay's tale of telephone trouble. You'll also get to hear this week's confessions from the Drive Time show right here at Greatest Hits Radio, including Rupert's sickly story. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer, one carpet. Chloe's French fiasco, sa plan pour moi. Moi, moi. Sarah's confession, hugging up a big monkey man. But first, it's Sassy's tale of tumble dryers and broken arms in I'll Tumble For You.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Sass. Thank you, Sass. Simon, Matt, Holly, Susie, and old Uncle Tom Cobley and all. This confession happened about 15 years ago when I was still living with my ex-husband, the father of my four children. He often worked away from home, so I was there with my two girls, two boys most of the time.
Wow.
As you can imagine, I know, yes, precisely. As you can imagine, the need to be able to do laundry efficiently was paramount with a family of six, and a tumble dryer to me was a must. On the day in question, my tumble dryer had broken down yet again, and the tumble dryer repairman was due to come to my house at any time. I'd been frantically rushing around the house, getting everything as tidy as possible for his arrival, while the offspring were behaving in their usual way. I should say at this point that the offspring were not little ones. The two sons in question must have been around 19 and 16 years of age. My eldest child, number one daughter, was out and about as usual, and the youngest one, aged 14, was chilling in her usual happy way. But my sons, as ever, were just causing complete carnage wherever they went. And as it had been snowing outside, and with much encouragement from me, they went outside to mess about in the snow on the green opposite our house. Just after kicking them out, the tumble dryer repairman arrived, and so I was completely distracted by him, hopefully repairing my washing lifeline. I was busying myself in the kitchen, making him a cup of tea, when number two son, we'll call him Sid, as he's now a respectable civil servant, might not want to be associated with this confession,
oh, yeah.
Came charging into the house screaming. I should say, Simon, we come from Bristol, so bring on the farmer's accent.
Okay, oh. Here it is.
Well, except that, as Susie will say, you know, a lot of people in Bristol have nothing like a farmer.
Quite right,
but
yes.
This is a stage direction.
It is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he comes running in. Mum, Johnny, not his real name, he's a number one son. Johnny has really hurt his arm.
Montana? No.
Wonderful.
Johnny had only just had his right arm's plaster removed after injuring himself very recently. Being the ever sympathetic mother I was, I replied in hushed tones, "He can't have done. The tumble dryer repairman is here. Tell him to stop making a fuss and come in the house." So off ran Sid back to his screaming brother.
Oh, right.
I took the cup of tea to the tumble dryer repairman and he looked up and said, "Are you sure he's okay?" "Yes, he's fine," I said. "He's always making a fuss about everything." "Well, if you're sure," he said. I went about my business, and by this time Johnny had come back into the house, soaking wet from the snow and screaming very loudly. Again, being sympathetic, I said in hushed tones, "Johnny, will you shush? The tumble dryer repairman is here." He screamed, "But Mum, my arm is agony." I told him, "You can't have hurt it. You've only just had the other arm fixed, so please shush. The tumble dryer repairman is here." Johnny was very upset, but he went upstairs to try and put some dryer clothes on. The tumble dryer repairman again asked if I was sure Johnny was going to be okay, and I, of course, assured him that he was fine. He then finished repairing my laundry lifeline, packed up his equipment and left. Hallelujah. Walking upstairs, Johnny was still ranting and screaming and told me I didn't care about his plight. And I replied, but you don't understand. We've been waiting for the tumble dryer repairman to come for weeks, and I needed to get this sorted. But if you really think you might have hurt yourself, I guess we better go to the hospital. I telephoned my ex to explain what had been happening, that the tumble dryer was now repaired and Johnny had hurt his arm, so I was going to take him to hospital, but I was sure it was a false alarm and we'd be home in no time. On arriving at the hospital, the triage nurse came to us and asked what had happened. I explained how the tumble dryer repairman had arrived.
Yes, that's the first part of the story. Yeah.
And about Johnny and his brother messing about in the snow. Apparently, Johnny had crashed into a brick wall that surrounded the green, and when asking Johnny to move his arm and wiggle his fingers, he pronounced, well, I would say that Johnny has broken his arm in at least three places. Oh. But an X-ray will confirm this. Johnny came back from X-ray and it was pronounced that he'd badly broken his arm in five places.
Five.
And because it was near the shoulder socket, they couldn't pin it, so he would have to be in a weighted cast for several months. Johnny was unable to work for some considerable time due to this injury and struggled with the easiest of things as the weighted cast was heavy, as you can imagine, and caused a lot of discomfort. Whenever this situation is brought up during family discussions, I've always tried to justify my behaviour because the tumble dryer repairman was in the house. But I'd like to say that... as I think we might have gathered.
No, yeah.
Johnny and Sid today, I'm very sorry that I ignored you both just to get my washing dry, and I'm sorry that your arm, even though you're now 35, is still clicky. Hoping you'll forgive me, team. I mean, I didn't throw him against the wall. He was 19.
Yes, no.
I was married at 20. He should have known better. But I do feel that he was...
What's that got to do with it?
That he was injured.
Nothing to do with it.
And I'm a model mother normally.
Wow.
Gotta love the way it's written. Thank you, Sass.
Yep.
I mean, clearly, she's got a lot on her plate. Yes. And the fact that the tumble dryer repairman had arrived is clearly very important for the rest of the confession. Anyway, what do you say, Suze?
Well, Sass, do you know what? I really do feel for you here. Four children is a lot to deal with. And as you say, they are all teenagers and kind of can look after themselves. But you are still a mother. And weather like today, I do appreciate a tumble dryer. So I am on your side there. I don't know. I kind of don't want to forgive you because you should have looked after them a bit better. But I do feel like you feel bad enough as it is.
Yes.
You know, how many times has that been brought up since it happened? So just for a bit of mother solidarity, I think I'm going to forgive her.
See, I don't think she does feel bad. I think
she definitely doesn't.
I think he's 19 and he should have known better. Anyway, brother Matthew.
And she was married at that point. I'm going to forgive because, we're absolutely right. These are, the fully grown boys and they can handle themselves and should have known better than to be getting their arm broken in five places. The reason I'm going to forgive, though, is just the number of times you said tumble dry repair man.
Yes.
Even though, we've established she's here to repair the tumble dry. Probably just say repairman after that, but no, every time it's tumble dryer repairman.
I wonder if the tumble dryer repairman became a closer friend.
Yeah, well, who knows? Interesting second part.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
It's an interesting case study as to how to write a good confession.
It was very, very well written, that one.
Sass did a fantastic job. Yeah. Anyway, we got this on the People's Verdict.
Jessica, though, says not forgiven. I think the real hero in all of this is the tumble dryer repairman.
Yes.
He spotted the problem early on and tried to warn Sass that her son's arm sounded bad. Sass ignored him, and for that, I'm not going to forgive.
Sass did actually get in touch
with
us after the confession to clarify that she did not end up with a tumble dryer repairman.
Oh, shame. Come on. He's very promising.
Apparently, he couldn't get out of the house fast enough.
Oh, right. Oh, dear.
It obviously gave off one of those kind of vibes like, this place is a madhouse.
Yes. No, I won't be coming back here.
Anyway, it turns out this is actually quite a common thing, thinking that your kids are overreacting about an illness. And it turns out they are actually quite poorly.
Yes, Joe sent in a message saying, "Hi, Simon and the gang. When my daughter Kay was 14, she kept telling me she had stomach ache. I thought she was just constipated and for 3 days kept telling her to take some Andrews. I left her home from school on the Monday and kept calling to see if she was okay. And then I came home from work early, decided I probably should take her to see the doctor. The doctor looked at her, sent us to A&E because she had appendicitis."
Oh, right, okay.
She ended up having her appendix removed in an emergency op, where they found that her appendix had started to become gangrenous and could have turned into peritonitis if left any longer.
Wow.
She was in hospital for a week, and to this day, 22 years later, she still hasn't forgiven me. Oops, says Joe.
Yeah. I think most parents have a version of that. Maybe not quite as...
Didn't we? I'm sure we had a confession once from a kid who had pretended that they had stomach ache, and it, basically they ended up going to hospital to have their appendix taken out.
When they didn't need to.
Yeah, they didn't need to because they just kept on with the lie. They just lied and lied. Well, because you can't back down, Suze. Once you've got that, once you've established that lie, can't back down, can't lose face in front of all these surgeons. Yes, take it out, go on.
If in doubt, always consult your GP.
Yes. Obviously, yes.
Don't ignore your children if they say...
No.
I mean,
you can ignore your children sometimes.
If it coincides with a geography test, then maybe there's rooms for suspicion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what if, as the geography test comes up, you do get peritonitis? Then that's something you need to take very carefully.
Also, if your children are annoying, then you can ignore them.
Is that right?
That's absolutely fine.
But
is that real?
On
like
the
that.
NHS website,
but annoying children do get ill as well.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
Here's the interesting thing. Annoying children, when they get ill, get less annoying.
Yes, they do, don't they?
So,
brilliant.
Not that I've had any experience.
Great leveller.
Right, let's look at the parish notice board. Matt, hit me with some fantastic five-star reviews.
Yes, only five stars. Get on to our parish notice board. So we begin with Jersey Silla, who gives us five stars. Taking me back to my youth. I absolutely love listening to this again. It takes me back to my early 20s and is just as entertaining. Pompey Pat says, five stars, best podcast out there. I'm so happy the Confession podcast is back. I know it's been going for a few months now, but I've only just discovered you, so I have tons to catch up on. This makes me very happy as I can listen to them in the car. I've abandoned the audiobook I was listening to and only listen to this. Here's another thought, Pompey Pat. Maybe listen to us in the car, because then you could hear them live.
3 hours every day.
Yeah. We're on Fantastic. All the time. And finally, Smithers... Well, bunch of numbers. Five stars.
Russian bot.
Yeah, Russian bot. Says, greatest podcast on the planet. So happy to hear Simon, Matt, Holly, Susie and the team back on Confessions. I always get slightly strange looks as I try to hide my laughter while sat on the bus. Quite right. Love people listening to us in public places and getting themselves into all sorts of mischief. And remember, if you want to get your review read out, we only accept five-star reviews.
Does it say, like, Smithers... 65954 nudes in profile.
Is that, are you getting a lot of those?
I am getting a lot of those.
Are you getting nudes in profile?
It's when the bots take over.
Wasn't in Terminator 2, was it? Nudes in profile. No thanks. T-1000.
See if I tweeted, I don't know, picture. Well, here's a nice flower. And you get three people going, yeah, that is a nice flower. I've got a flower. And then someone else just says,
nudes in profile.
What's the world coming to these days? Now, last week on this podcast, we played a clip of mayoral candidate Count Binface telling us about how much he loves Greatest Hits Radio. Turns out he's a fan of the podcast.
Oh.
He's been back in touch. Here we go.
Greetings, Simon Mayo. Count Binface here, space politician and winner of 24,000 votes in the recent London mayor election. Now, I have noticed that online, Greatest Hits Radio has played a clip where I greeted you, Simon Mayo, and Ken Bruce and GHR. However, of course, I made a gigantic slip-up. I forgot to say, hello, Simon, Matt, Susie, Holly, and the team. Because, of course, I want the bell to ring... And I want your votes. So there you go, I put it right, and as Susie said, I do have a confession or two from my travails on Sigma 9 and beyond, so if you fancy a celebrity edition from outer space, give me a call.
24,000 people voted for it.
Yes, they did, didn't they? Yes. Why not? Well, that's democracy.
Quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did reply to him saying... I mean, send one in if you like. It's not really for celebrities or politicians like yourself, Count Binface.
Well, he'd probably change his name anyway.
Yeah, he might call himself like Mary Johnson from Cardiff or something like that. Okay. But if Mary Johnson in Cardiff has been on Sigma 9, then I think that'll be the giveaway.
Yes.
Anyway, we are. Here's a thing which Susie's written. We are politically impartial.
This very much sounds like a producer thing. Go on. It does.
Yeah. So I think you should say, if you're the leader of any party and you want to say, because I think Count Binface is the leader of his party.
He is, yeah.
So if you're a party leader, we'll welcome your
Definitely. Confession. Everyone.
Well,
but
you have to be the leader. We don't just any old nonsense. You know, I'm standing.
You might be.
We're not interested in you, but we are interested in party leaders. But anyway, confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Any thoughts or feelings about the podcast? Anything you want to tell us? That's the email. Remember, we want to send something to the person that loves us the most, apart from our families. We don't love us that much anyway.
No.
If you send us a loving message, there might be a mug with my face on it, or a cartoon face, anyway. And I think, what does it say? Does it say Greatest Hits Radio? Susie, you're in charge of that kind
yes,
of thing?
Yes, it does say Greatest Hits Radio.
That would be sensible, wouldn't it, really?
Yeah.
Given that they paid for it. Quick couple of mentions to Tiff, Norman, Kelly, Tash and Sue, who are among those who tweeted or blue-skied lots of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hey, really?
The secret phrase from last week's podcast, which was, of course, Matt,
Gorilla Man.
Keep listening to the end of this podcast to hear this week's top secret code phrase. I think I know what it's going to be already.
Yes.
But Matt decides that.
No.
I think I know what it's going to be. Okay, the roll call of shame then. The confessions that didn't quite get on because they weren't appropriate. For example, Stee, as in S-T-E. You and your best mate, Troy, certainly were thick as thieves at school. And yes, trying to prove who was the maddest by stripping naked and running to the lamppost outside school and climbing them.
Oh, wow.
Does need forgiveness, especially as you chickened out of the climb when you saw the icy metal post. You saw what the icy metal post was trying to do to Troy's skin, which is basically fuse.
Yeah.
And also then the little old lady who lived next to the school chose that very moment to take her dog for a walk. And got more than she bargained for.
I'll bet. Yeah.
Word of advice here, kids. If you're naked and it's freezing outside, don't climb the lampposts.
Definitely don't do that. No,
because the metal will have designs on your flesh. However, it was Steve's confession, it was the precursor of underage smoking and drinking, which meant your confession received a big fat no for a whole bunch of reasons.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yes. Yes. That would mean we can't do it.
Yes.
It? Yeah.
And Paul, this didn't make it on. Going out for, I mean, you'll see where this is going very quickly.
Go on.
Yeah.
Going out for a lavish, cheeky, spicy chicken dish after you had only been living on juiced fruit and vegetables for 6 weeks.
Oh, boy. Yeah, go
in
on.
In hindsight, probably go wasn't on. The best idea. Heading straight to the cinema afterwards is probably a worse one. The fact that the little old man who worked at the kiosk would do anything to avoid eye contact with you after he witnessed the crime scene that you left in the gentleman's toilet.
Oh, right, well.
This tells you all you need to know about why it is not suitable and why we did not need you to go into all that detail.
Well, at least he made it to the loos, is what I would say there. I mean, it could have been a lot worse. Could have been in the in the old theatre thing.
It could.
Theatre seats.
Is that what they call them? Yeah, the theatre. Where you sit?
I think people call it the ding-dong.
The ding-dong, yes. Sitting in the ding-dong.
Ding-dong.
It's
going
to be a lot worse. Yes.
I mean, we do get away with, on a live podcast, we get away with a little bit of vom and maybe a little bit of other bodily excretions.
Yeah.
But not that much.
No.
Okay.
No.
I mean, there is a little bit of military vom.
Ugh, yes, there Fairly always shortly. Seems to be vom involving the military.
In fact, here it comes.
Ah.
Someone who claims to be called Rupert. Tale of military misery, one bourbon, one scotch, one beer, one carpet.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone.
Today's confession, Matt will not forgive because as soon as he hears who it's from.
Oh, right, Ooh. Okay.
Today's confession comes from Rupert.
Ugh.
There you go. Father Simon, good afternoon. Seeking forgiveness from the celestial body known as the Collective, a confession from 1993, different times, a story of inter-service rivalry, and a young army officer cadet from the Royal Military Academy Sandhurst. That's me, Rupert. It has become time to confess after all these years, following, I believe, a distinguished career in the British Army. So back then, as an army officer cadet, not surprisingly, there was a lot of shouting and a lot of getting tired and wet and cold in Wales. One thing to look forward to, however, was sport. And I was lucky enough to play hockey to a very good standard. And so was in the first 11, which meant getting out of the academy for matches. One event that we looked forward to particularly was the inter-service matches against Cranwell and Dartmouth, the RAF and the Royal Navy officer training centres, respectively. This story revolves around our match away at Cranwell. So one weekend, Sandhurst sent men and women's teams to the RAF College at Cranwell to do battle across rugby, hockey, cross-country and football. I should say at this point that the RAF College at Cranwell has a very grand entrance to the trainee officer accommodation and mess. The entrance fronts onto a parade square and is separated by some grand doors. Behind the grand doors is a carpet. Not any old carpet, but, and this is where it gets a bit Harry Potter.
Okay.
The forbidden carpet.
Oh.
Capital F, capital C. This is a very special carpet that trainee RAF officers are not allowed to walk across. They have to walk around it until they are commissioned. And more importantly for this story, you have to walk through the hall containing the forbidden carpet to get from the bar and the dining room to the bedrooms. Ah. It has godlike status in the RAF and is watched over by a guard in a little room just off it to make sure that you can't walk across...
You can't walk across the carpet?
The forbidden carpet.
Right.
That's the point of becoming an officer.
Okay. How do you get... Anyway,
you become an officer and then, I mean, think of the glory. You can actually walk across the carpet.
I can walk. Great.
So back to the story. The Sandhurst teams duly arrived at the front of the college, picked up our kit bags and we entered the hall. Now, I can't remember if we were told about the carpet and its significance. Being slightly superior and arrogant potential army officers, we dumped our bags on the carpet whilst waiting for instructions. Not surprisingly, they came very quickly from an RAF officer with words to the effect of, "Please kindly get off." I certainly remember the off bit.
Yeah.
Then we were told the significance of the forbidden carpet and went to our rooms to get changed for the afternoon sporting matches. Suffice to say, we wiped the floor with Cranwell. We won every match. So now fast forward to that evening dinner and celebration. Suffice to say, a lot of beer was taken, Father Simon. Lots of high-spirited drinking games. We played late into the evening in the bar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I got that feeling, the well-known feeling that can only be described as a bit of soberness in a not very sober moment. I needed to get somewhere very fast due to an imminent arising from the stomach area.
Okay.
I should have said at the beginning.
Yeah. Yes.
A bit of a warning.
Yeah.
At this late stage of the evening, with a large amount of beers taken in an unfamiliar place, I left the bar. Slightly remembering where the bathroom was, I turned left down the corridor, right round the corner, and could feel things moving and developing. I quickened my pace down a corridor and across a hall, and I could see the bathroom. Unfortunately, the hall in question contained the forbidden carpet.
Oh, no.
Surely this wasn't going to happen to me. Not now, not here, not on this carpet. The holy, hallowed, and forbidden carpet. I had no choice, Father Simon. I did not go round. I ran across the carpet, hand over my mouth. And, well, I have to say, my hand was more like a soft spray setting on a garden hose. So shall we say time passed, and then time passed on this precious woven piece of RAF history. A calamity. I made it to the bathroom sign, and I made it, and I cleaned myself up. What to do now? Had the guard seen anything? Do I go and clean up? Do I tell someone and own up? I should say that integrity is a founding principle of Sandhurst and being an army officer. So I decided to try and get away with it. My luck was in. The guard had clocked off, and looking around, there was no CC television and there was no one else around. I returned to the bar and blended in quickly with the other cadets. Time was called and we all went to bed. All I had to do was to get out in the morning on the coach. Breakfast was taken with sore heads, goodbyes were said, and nothing more was mentioned. I had got away with it. But now is the time to seek forgiveness from the staff and cadets at RAF Cranwell in 1993 for their carpet, the forbidden carpet, to the guard who might have smelt something for days to come, and for the cleaners who had to clean, and also to the commandant and staff at Sandhurst for not displaying full integrity and owning up to my misdemeanor. Finally, I'd like to apologise to the current Chief of Air Staff and Head of the Royal Air Force, Air Chief Marshal Sir Rich Knighton, who I know from having served with him in my career. So,
oh, right, I see.
Can wow. I just say sorry, Rich, by the way? Yeah. Okay. Well, I have to say that Rich does not know Rupert by that name because he changed his name before we got this far. Let's see what Sister Susie has to say.
I understand the complicatedness with the carpet, but what I don't understand is why you let you get yourself in a state that you needed to run across it and create the mess that you did. Just not responsible. And you know what, we have it in the pub all the time. People get too excited and then it's not very nice, and it's just not very nice to clean up, so therefore I can't forgive you.
I love the idea of a forbidden carpet, brother Matthew.
I'm less enamoured by the idea of a forbidden carpet. What is the point of having a carpet if you can't walk across it? Also, if you're going to have a forbidden carpet, don't put it next to the bar, because then people are going to be walking across the carpet, aren't they? Also, it feels like, you know, when you used to have your front room and no one was allowed in the front room apart from visitors. Apparently they get to go in the front room, but none of us who live in the house get to go in the front room. So I'm
a little insight.
Yes, I'm going to... And also, there were no rules about doing what he ended up doing on the carpet. It was just, got to walk across the carpet. Well, he didn't walk. He ended up doing something else.
We did.
Well, yes, but then there was something else. And so for that reason, you know, because it was a loophole in the laws, I'm going to forgive.
Shambles. So in your house, was there a room that you weren't supposed to go into?
Was it, everyone had that. Did everyone have that? You got the front room, no one's allowed in the front room apart from visitors.
Nope.
Visitors
no.
could go in the front room, and at Christmas you were allowed to go in the front room. That was it.
How big was the mansion you lived in?
It was just one front room. We'd all be in the dining room, but then there'd be the front room, and no one's allowed in the front room unless, you know, someone comes to stay.
No, well, I mean, the closest we got to it is that the dining room was very rarely gone into, because you didn't normally sit down and have, like, dinner around the table. You'd have it in the kitchen.
You'd have your dinner in the kitchen?
Yeah.
On a table?
Yes, what? Obviously. Oh, right. On a table. Then the dining room was like for special occasions.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Did you have that, Suze? Do you have a different room? Who's eating? You eat. So Simon ate his dinners in the kitchen.
Yes.
Like the
or
help.
Or the lounge.
Or the lounge. Yeah, oh, so you're in the front room. So you were in the. You were eating it wherever then. What about you, Suze? Where were you eating?
All over the place. The dining room, the lounge that you obviously weren't allowed into.
I reckon there's weird stuff going on in your house in that forbidden room.
Yeah. But
were there drugs involved?
No.
Or something like that? Something the arms trade.
The arms trade being done from the centre of my front room.
Were there people in your family who were dealing?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. I think it was all down
that's
to that.
That's why you couldn't go in.
Yes, massive conspiracy going on from our front room.
Maybe it's a Mr. and Mrs. Smith thing. Maybe there's a kind of MI5, MI6. Mm,
sort of tailed off towards the
secret
end of the
agent.
Series.
Yeah.
That would definitely make sense.
Should just say in parenthesis here, sidebar, I watched the series of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, enjoyed it all the way through. Matt enjoyed it all the way through until about 5 minutes to the end, where he thought, oh, I can't go along with this, and gave up. literally 5 minutes before the end of the entire series.
I didn't know it was 5 minutes from the end, in my defence. But
well, I have told you since.
Yeah, you have, but I'm not going back to it. It was ridiculous.
Anyway, still to come on the Confessions podcast, it wasn't ridiculous. The CD telephone calls in Jay's Tale from the Crypt, and Chloe's French teacher's frustration in Sa Plan Pour Moi, Moi, Moi. But not before Sarah's confession. Hugging up a big monkey man.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Sarah sends in today's confession. Brackets. Ex-police officer, crime scene investigator, and currently a magistrate.
Oh, wow. Right. Wow. Pretty high, then.
A woman of responsibility.
Yeah.
Dear Father Simon and your fellow brethren, this incident is relatively recent, going back to the 17th of July, 2021. A beautiful sunny day on the lovely south coast of England. We are a group of four who are equally responsible for this accidental deception, although my younger sister, Imogen, possibly have averted our sinful behaviour had she not stayed silent upon realising what had actually happened during this incident at the end of a lovely morning. Her silence caused all four of us to commit a dastardly and unholy sin. I think the finger is very definitely
being
pointed.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, I like it.
Having accommodated the above-mentioned sister and her partner, Chris, for a good deal of time during lockdown, when they found themselves temporarily homeless due to being unable to return to their apartment in China during COVID, They generously thanked us with a voucher for the four of us to compete in a fun interactive game trying to solve a murder in Bournemouth Town Centre.
Oh, right.
Can I just say, as thank yous go, that's a little bit disappointing, I would have to say. Really?
Yeah.
How about a holiday or something
okay.
like that?
I mean,
or a cash bonus. Mm. Anyway, this involved following clues on an app and moving from place to place as we gained more information and using our sleuthing skills, solving pieces of the puzzle. Although we weren't the quickest team on the day and we didn't win, we had great fun, especially as we had followed the suggested brief and sportingly dressed up as the team. We owned a number of brown monk's habits.
What?
Which had been rustled up for a recent pantomime. And the artistic Chris made us each a rather lovely Da Vinci Code-style Bible from old food packets, whilst my husband made large wooden crosses from MDF, which we hung around our necks on long pieces of string. We were all wearing our slightly different shades of brown due to acquiring fabric from charity shops and freebie sites, habits, sunglasses, sandals, which, to be honest, were mostly a little on the modern side, but nevertheless, we felt we looked the business and set to solve the crime as best we could. Our team name was Cardinal Sin, which turned out to be very apt
very good.
By the end of the morning. So imagine these rather cool monks, very large Bibles and crosses and sunglasses. I mean, they would stand out a little, even in Bournemouth. Having solved the crime and feeling mightily pleased with ourselves, we settled on a nice little cafe in a pedestrianised part of the town to enjoy a well-earned and very late breakfast. We sat there enjoying our repast and generally feeling good about the world and our success, waving cheerfully to other groups dressed up equally bizarrely and refusing to give away any hints as to who committed the virtual murder. Towards the end of our breakfast, I was confused to see a strange woman speak quietly to my sister, Imogen, and place a bundle of paper down on the table. She then gave a cheery wave and walked off into the crowd of tourists exploring the shops and cafes around us. Mightily puzzled, I turned to my sister, who had a shocked look on her face, and then gravely told us that this complete stranger had just paid for our breakfasts and left us money. Not only this, but it turns out that what she quietly said to my sister in a foreign, possibly Spanish accent.
Oh, here we go. Yeah?
Okay, now I can't do Spanish accent, so could you do this for me?
Okay.
Matt? Okay.
Yes.
So, I wanted to do this for you.
I wanted to... So
no, you need to do it in a Spanish accent.
I wanted to do this for you.
I wanted to do this for you. As you looked after my mother...
As you looked after my mother...
So well when she was dying.
Oh, my... So well when she was dying...
And I love monks.
And I love monks. And I love monks.
Okay. So very good. I don't see why I should have to take responsibility. I knew that I wouldn't be able to do it as well as Matt. So far, it was not because we'd made such a fantastic effort with our costumes for the murder mystery that day that persuaded her we deserved a free breakfast and a cash reward, but rather she clearly decided we were genuine monks, despite the decidedly homemade habits, MDF crosses and cereal box Bibles. The men burst out laughing when they realised what had happened, but my first thought was total mortification that this poor woman had spent her money on our food and drink, thinking that we were the real deal, quickly followed by my second thought of I should have ordered a bigger breakfast.
Mm.
So to all of you hearing my confession, I beg forgiveness. We had no intention to deliberately mislead. I was honestly completely confused and baffled when I realised what she had done. Maybe we should have tried harder to spot her rapidly disappearing figure in the crowd, but by the time we'd realised what had happened and stopped our shocked and slightly hysterical laughter, she was long gone. Anyway, what's more, three of us have previously worked or currently working in the local police force of varying capacities. I hope this fact will not count against us in this sorry tale of deception in fraudulently obtaining a large quantity of free bacon, eggs and coffee. Well, I mean, this is the kind of thing that you could expect. I suppose if you've got to walk around dressed as a monk, someone might think you're a monk.
Yeah. No,
and then if a woman says, here's some cash, you say, no.
Yeah.
I'm not a real monk. It's very straightforward. Sister Susie, what are you saying?
Exactly. That is what I say. You could have told her, or your sister should have said immediately, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not a monk. We're not monks. Have
also,
your money
she's
back.
A woman.
Yeah, not many female monks.
There's the clue. She'd be a nun.
Mm. Yes, she would be a nun. And therefore, I feel like they should have said it. And therefore, I can't forgive them. Even though they didn't really do anything wrong, they should have made it clear as the woman was talking. And therefore, not forgiven.
Can you be a female monk?
Who knows?
Or a male nun?
Oh, well, we're in an area that we don't really know,
that's
do
right.
we?
brother. Spanish brother.
Yes.
Gorilla
so
man.
I'm going to forgive.
Man.
Because, I mean, we might not know whether women can be monks, but we do know that monks don't wear sunglasses. And they were all wearing sunglasses.
It may well
no,
do.
No, they don't. Definitely
they
don't.
All I've that seen, amazingly
I've,
strong beer.
I've seen them on telly. And none of them were wearing sunglasses. Never see Ray-Bans on a monk. So, for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Chloe. Simon and the Greatest Hits Collective. I seek forgiveness for another transgression, and I'd like to hear Simon's French accent.
Oh, good. So would I.
Yes,
thank
please.
You. I don't do... I'm not a performing monkey, but I will...
In a way, we all are.
...do that if required. This confession is for when I was a 10-year-old smart aleck, mm-hmm. as opposed to the 34-year-old smart aleck I am now. I attended the same school for my whole childhood, and as a result, everyone knew everyone else. Also, I am bilingual in French. My mother is French, and so French classes were always a walk in the park. However, one year we had a brand new French teacher, Madame Le Boulanger.
No, come on.
Well, I can't use his real name. And I quickly realised, after I answered a couple of her questions correctly and received lots of praise from her, that she didn't know I was half French. Assuming at some point she would find out, I kept up the pretense that I was simply an extremely gifted linguist. How do you say ma room? Ma room is messy in French, she would ask the class. This is Madame Le Boulanger.
Yeah.
I would tentatively put up my hand and put on a British accent, responding, ma chambre est très désorganisée. Wow, Chloe, yes, exactly, well done.
Oh, very nice.
Very nice. Oh. All my school friends would snigger, and I would feel great about myself, and Madame Le Boulanger must think she's a brilliant teacher. So this is a win-win situation. That was until a term into the year, and parents' evening crept up on me. I sat at home waiting for my parents to come home with my surely glowing report from my teachers. Yes, Matt, I hate my 10-year-old self also.
Yeah.
My mum comes home and says, fairly sternly in her heavy French accent.
Heavy French accent, here it comes.
Hey, Chloe, we are...
What? No! Oh, come on!
We had a very interesting chat with your French teacher. I understand she's called Madame Le Boulanger.
Wow.
Which point I remembered my little white lie and the blood drained from my face. Oh, what did she have to say? I asked nervously. My mum said, well, we sat down and she was extremely, extremely glowing about your French, saying you had a real talent for languages. So nice having someone so good in the class who listens and engages. At which point I say, bah, j'espère bien. I should hope so. And she realised what had been going on. Luckily, my mother saw the funny side and the teacher called me out on the lie the very next day in class. Chloé, lève-toi. Stand up. Écoutez et répétez. Je suis désolé. Pour ma tromperie, I'm sorry for my deception. Je suis désolé, and so on. So therefore, it would seem appropriate to seek forgiveness, not from my classmates, who all got a good chuckle, but from my French teacher back then, Madame Le Boulanger. Newly qualified, she must have felt pretty deflated that her little protégé, the old French prodige, a sign from which omens are drawn, was actually not God's gift to languages, but raised bilingual. I now teach French myself at my child's nursery. When a child actually repeats after me correctly, I feel so good about myself. How cruel to them have that taken away, which I realise was an error. So that's where we are, and obviously another opportunity to add to my showreel.
Oh, it's so good. So good.
Which was on Greatest Hits Radio social media yesterday are like a compendium. So next time I have a book out, I shall do the audiobook. Look at my range.
Yes, make sure you've got some French characters in there.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Oh, well, never mind.
Then there was René.
Anyway, yes, I could change that. Anyway, Sister Susie, what do you say to Chloe?
I really like what Chloe's done here. However, I really struggled with French, and I found it really hard with the masculine and the feminine, and I wasn't gifted at languages, and I think that she was probably a bit mean to the teacher, and although I did love the accents,
thank you,
I also want to find out how I get a French teacher in a nursery as well, because that sounds very, very good. But on this occasion, I'm not going to forgive.
I don't think you'll get a French teacher in the nursery necessarily. It might be a little
It'd be
bit
very
early.
Advanced.
It would be very advanced.
But she said she's teaching in the nursery, isn't she?
Yeah. Oh, yes, she's. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
yes,
Chloe, yeah.
Very good. You just need to get in touch with Chloe.
Chloe, that's how.
I'm sure we have her contact details as she got in touch with us in the
first
place.
With her smart speaker, yes.
yes, does she need another smart speaker or not? I don't know. Anyway, Matt, what do you say?
Well, I'm going to forgive, because let's not forget that it's not Chloe's fault that she's bilingual. She is very good at French, so she's going to be good in French lessons. So that's just nature. That's just how it's all worked out.
Circle of life.
Circle of life, isn't it, everyone? Everyone agrees with me again.
Is that right?
Qu'est-ce que c'est la fage, etc. Yes, I'm going to forgive.
Bah, j'espère bien.
Uh-huh.
So, really?
Yes.
Very nice.
I think that's surreal comedy. It's the kind of thing that you go to the Edinburgh Festival and pay.
Yes, we would get a tenner every time that for that.
A lot of money
yes.
for that kind of stuff.
5 stars of the Scotsman.
If she told the truth straight away,
then we wouldn't have had a feature. If everyone had told the truth, that's where we have to draw a line under this podcast.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Time to delve into the past and dust off another confession from the crypt. This week, a request from Gemma, Simon, Matt, Holly, Susie and the team. By the way, Holly is in the room, aren't you, Holly?
Hello.
But she's only we have to pay her by the word.
Yes.
So that's the only thing.
That's all we're allowed.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I request a confession to be played on the podcast? I loved the one where someone was looking through their telephone bill and noticed that there had been numerous calls to Munchline.
Oh my. Oh yes.
He suspected his flatmate must have been ringing some, you know.
Yeah.
Interesting hotlines. Anyway, says Gemma in Chippenham, I was absolutely howling at this one. I would love to hear it again. Okay. Gemma successfully converted from a VHS that we dug out from the attic into a lovely new WAV format. Here we go. Jay's confession. Telephone operator, why can't I see you later?
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Jake, thank you very much. I'm going to give this a PG certificate.
Ooh.
I think that's right. For reasons that you'll see. Father Simon and the Moral Authority.
Yep.
Makes it sound like some kind of science fiction thing. I have a confession that I've been harbouring for 30 years. This is from Jade. Did I mention that?
Anyway, you did.
Yep.
I feel a need to repent. When I was a student living in a shared flat in the West End of Glasgow, I cohabited with 4 older male students all doing PhDs. I was a first-year train wreck studying social sciences and spending too much time in the bars on Byers Road. However, my flatmates gave me a very important job every quarter with the itemised telephone bill. When it arrived, it was my job. Younger listeners might need to have this explained to them, what an itemised... You know what an itemised phone bill is, don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
It's phone bill where every call is listed.
Oh, it is listed. Lovely. Yeah. Yes, got it.
Okay. So I would take various coloured highlighters and work out who had called who, what the cost was, the share of the line rental, the handset and so on. It's relatively easy, as they all came from different parts of the country and would usually only call home. These were the days, of course, when a solitary phone call home once a week was quite enough to reassure anxious parents. Unlike today's texting, WhatsApping, threading, Facebooking generation who need constant updates about pretty much everything. Back off, parents. We don't need you. That was the whole point of going to university in the first place. Anyway, the phone bill allocation was my responsibility. This is Jay talking because she sent this one in. One bill, however, stumped me. The caller detail on the itemised bill read Munchline.
What?
And I couldn't believe that someone in the flat was calling munchlines. What was a munchline anyway? It sounded sordid. Someone on the other end of the phone talking about Mars bars or slobbering over pizzas and kebabs.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's all that about? My mind was working overtime. I was disgusted. I knew about adult chat lines, but kinky food lines? What?
No.
Really? Anyway, I knew immediately who it was. One of the boys was unhealthier than the others, and I thought, that's him. It's Flynn. We're calling him Flynn anyway.
Yeah.
He's been in his room fantasizing about Mars bars and fish and chips and chocolate puddings and others of the kitchen's greatest hits variety. Ah. Of course, I didn't say anything to my flatmates, but I did tell my friends. I said I couldn't believe Flynn in his room. The flatmates, though, I didn't say a thing. Didn't say anything to Flynn either. Just allocated the bill out and they all paid, with Flynn, of course, paying for the munchlines. Now, I've told this to so many people, still horrified that this was his fetish, but about 8 years ago, I was passing through Ayrshire, Father Simon, when I saw a sign for the ancient but to me obscure town of Mochlin, 8 miles southeast of Kilmarnock, created by James IV in 1510, famed, I now understand, for its clockmaking, wood products, also the Robert Burns National Monument. But it's spelt M-A-U-C-H-L-I-N-E, which I, in my ignorance, had read as Munchline.
Yeah.
So Flynn was just calling his family in Mochlin, yes. And I just haven't worked that one out. Father Simon and the Moral Collective Authority, please find it in your hearts to forgive this drunken, illiterate social science student for shaming Flynn to anyone who would listen. I mean, I think a degree of sternness is going to be called for here. Jade is very hard on herself, but obviously Flynn came out of this rather badly. Sister Holly.
I don't understand why Jade didn't just ask the flatmates herself, the housemates herself, and just say, like, look, on the bill, something about munchlines. I'm a little bit confused about this. Maybe she just felt a little bit embarrassed, but she should have just got out and said it, really. I think she should have.
I think she was embarrassed.
She should have just said it. She should have just said it. And then it would have been cleared up and this never would have happened.
Right.
So I don't forgive.
No forgiveness. Okay. Brother from another.
Oh, God. I love that conversation. Have you been calling munchline? No, I'm definitely going to forgive. I'm going to forgive just because munchline is so good. It's the best. It's the best word we've come up this week. I love it. Very funny. Well done. Yes, nothing else to say. Munchline.
That's it.
Fabulous.
So if you're driving through, if you're 8 miles southeast of Kilmarnock right now, that'll be Mochlin. Everybody knows it's Mochlin, apart from Jade.
Munchline.
So it's munchline.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
And do not make munchline the word that people have to message. I don't want to have to explain that.
Well, the one I'm thinking of might be even worse.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Well, I mean, Elon Musk will allow it because he allows anything.
But yeah, apparently.
I just, you know, I don't, you know,
no.
Certain standards. Anyway, telephone operator, why can't I see you later, is a line, by the way, by Pete Shelley at the Buzzcocks.
Of course it is, yeah.
Very, very good song. Anyway, if you have a request for a classic confession, just like that, you'd like to hear it again, or you have a confession that you deserve some forgiveness and you're desperate for a smart speaker, confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. So here we go. It's crunch time or munch time. Who knows?
Uh-oh.
This week's secret code phrase is...
Right, so I was going to go with nudes in profile, but I wonder whether that's such a great idea. I don't think so. So I'm going to go with do your priest voice. Do your priest voice.
Okay.
That's the secret code phrase.
Do your priest voice.
Do your priest voice.
Okay. That will then make me come on and do it a whole lot more.
Yeah, no. We all want that.
Of course.
Okay. I see, you know, nudes in profile is fine, but then... That will look as though I'm getting an awful lot
of nudes in profile.
Bots.
Which is why I decided against using the nudes in the profile.
Because then people might not message it at all. And then.
Yes. And then where would we be where then? We be?
Anyway, you've got a variety of things to tell us. You can tweet at Simon Mayo. You can thread. At Mr.
Is that
Simon
actually.
Mayo.
Is that the phrase? Is that what you say?
Thread
people?
Yeah.
I don't know. Or you can go on Blue Sky, where everyone is a lovely person.
Yeah, aren't they just?
and send us that very nice message. Anyway, keep telling everyone that the Confessions podcast is back. Thank you very much indeed for downloading us. From Sister Holly.
Ta-ta for now.
There you go. Brother Matt.
Goodbye.
Sister Susie from the pub.
Time at the bar.
See, time at the bar.
Time at the bar. Last orders.
Oh, I see. Of course, yes. Time at the bar. Calling time at the bar. Yes, that's what they say in pubs.
A little bit slow on the uptake at the end of this podcast. Thank you very much for listening and all that jazz. And we'll see you next week. Or live on the radio on Monday.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
4 till 7.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Or 6:30 in your case. I'm out of here. Bye.